Does your family have a legacy of seeing the dead? Is the land you grew up on haunted? Could you handle ghost stories about your own kin? Today we test the believability of the familial spirits.
Welcome to Believing the Bizarre,
where we dive into the unknown and the unusual
and tell you whether or not we find it believable.
Yeah, that's right. Oh my gosh. So, Tyler, these are listener submissions. The first story comes from our listener, Chris. And this submission is interesting because typically in these stories, the submitter is pretty convinced they witnessed something. Chris is not.
Oh, a little skeptic.
Yeah.
They I like
say,
that.
They say several times they're a hardcore skeptic.
Nice.
And I feel like this is the first time where I have to convince you, Tyler, and the person that submitted that they witnessed a ghost.
And let me just say, obviously, I do enjoy skepticism, but nothing against believers.
Right. No. I mean, because I think I'm a believer.
You are.
Yeah.
I am, too. I just am more skeptical about, I don't know. You've turned a corner. You've become more skeptical since we've been doing this podcast, in my opinion.
Well, that means we need to experience something in person again.
We do. We need to get out there.
We need to get on the field. I hate to say it, but I think it's time. I think we bust out a Ouija board.
No.
Yes.
No, that's not what I meant at all. We are not on the same wavelength. I thought you meant like cemetery.
No.
Ouija board?
Yeah.
Why?
How many stories have we gotten? Have we heard that it's effective?
How many times does it end during our story? It's always a to be continued. And then we're always like, oh, I hope they get back to us and say they're fine. And we never hear from them again.
Never said they're fine.
Yeah.
Well.
You know who always says they're fine? Ghost hunting.
Yeah. I guess that's
true. Agree with you in theory, though. Like, we've been too, like, we're like police officers that have been too off. Like, we're at the office, or we're firefighters. We've been at the office all day pushing paperwork. We haven't felt the heat of the fire. You know what I mean?
I guess that, yeah, we're like too comfortable. We used to be feral cats, and now we're domesticated.
I know. And now we're judging the feral cats unfairly. We need to get out there and feel the spooks.
Maybe there's like a moderate tool, like an in-between tool of like nothing, like what you want, and something really that'll push the spirit's buttons, what I want. Yeah, there's like something in the middle.
Maybe we need one of those voice box things.
A voice box thing or a pendulum.
A pendulum thing.
Yeah.
Right. I think we need to find a paranormal investigation team nearby. Now, because we have some listeners that are awesome from across the nation that I would love to ghost hunt with, especially looking at you, Audrey.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, that's...
No one's close.
Yeah, y'all need to come here. Ohio's messed up. We got some stuff here.
Yes.
But anyway, well, sorry, this is a tangent.
This is a tangent, for sure. All right. So I'm pretty sure this house in general, Chris's house, their grandfather's house, is very haunted. So, like I said, this house is extremely haunted. Though not the oldest house, it has its fair share of death that's happened inside of it. It was built in like the 50s. The original owner passed away in the house, along with Chris's paternal great-grandmother, Chris's great-grandfather, and possibly... unsure, Chris's great-grandfather. But none of these people suffered quick deaths. They were all kind of like drawn out, which brings us to question again. I want to talk about that end of the episode. Does a death need to be traumatic to leave a ghost? Because we've talked about that idea before, that traumatic deaths will absolutely can leave a ghost, but deaths where like people are sick, how often does that leave a ghost?
With sickness?
Yeah.
Because it can be traumatic, but also it makes me feel, and I don't mean like, not weak as in like, oh, you got sick, you're weak. I mean like sickness typically weakens the body.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if it also would then weaken the spirit.
Well, I mean, I think sickness, you're going to get a ghost that regrets something. I think that's what's going to leave behind, you know? But we can talk about that more in the back half after we talk about the experiences.
Yeah, for sure.
So the ashes of all of Chris's family, the ones I mentioned that have passed in this house, are still there to this day. So before Chris's grandfather passed, he had allowed his the grandfather had his own personal encounters. He often woke up to the middle of the night where his mother, the great-grandmother, was standing at the foot of his bed, watching him while he slept. The grandfather also experienced seeing the old owner of the house in different parts of the house, in different parts of the property, and by the lake the house is by.
Mm.
So, regardless of what Chris thinks, her grandfather thought it was haunted.
So this is a multi-general family house?
Yeah.
It makes me think of, like, have you seen Moana?
Yeah.
Like, with the house, where they have, like, all the pictures and, like, the tree. It's, like, everybody is, like, the whole family.
Mm-hmm.
It's just making me think of that, because of the ashes. That's Coco, man. Oh my God, you're right. Sorry, that's not Moana, it's Coco. But you're right.
All the pictures of the people on the pine on the coconut tree.
Yeah, sorry, no, you're right, Coco. Because I was gonna ask you if you think Chris likes music.
Sure.
But that's what it made me think of, because it's like you have all these ashes next to, you know, ashes.
Yeah. Well, ashes, I mean, I still have my mom's ashes. I do.
I was asked if I wanted Annie's ashes, and we got a paw print.
Yeah, that's sweet. I saw recently, not to totally get off topic, that someone got a tattoo with Charles Manson's ashes on their face. It said Helter Skelter. Did not pay off.
It wouldn't be my choice, but...
I wouldn't imagine, no. Different life choices.
That's going 0 to 100.
So I think this speaks to the power of family. So there's a history of people getting premonitions when someone's about to die in this family. So when the great-grandmother was ill, the grandparents that were in the house to take care of her, the night that she died, they got a vision of her saying, you know, goodbye, take care, I'm going now. And they woke up in the morning and they checked on her and she was gone.
Wow.
So when Chris's grandfather was ill, Chris's mother was staying there at the house to take care of him, like they took care of his mother. She had a dream one night where the grandfather walked into her room, something he couldn't do because he was ill and it weakened his body. He couldn't walk for like a month.
You're sounding like Willy Wonka. That's not funny. It's not funny. I'm sorry.
And he said goodbye to Chris's mother. And when she woke up and checked on him, he was gone. Now, I think it's strange because I think dreams are some of the weaker evidence for paranormal activity. That's just me.
It's tough because dreams only make sense typically to the person who experienced it.
Mm-hmm.
It can feel so intense. And then as soon as you start trying to explain it, you can't mm-hmm. fully.
And it's gone.
And it's frustrating. But I think it's because it's the feeling. The feeling of a dream is incredibly compelling.
Yeah.
But then you say it out loud and you're like, oh.
Yeah. But for these, it's interesting that it's happened twice in a row in the same house. Which I wonder if that's like a family connection or if that's just like a place where it is kind of connection. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think it's because they're family?
Well, it seems like it would be more likely to be genetic than location based. Because what would that particular house... It almost is like if they have the power to do it, it's like if you wanted to tell someone that you were dying, maybe telling them in their dream is the kindest way
mm-hmm.
because it feels a little kind of like out of your mind, out of sight in a way. You know, it's like it's awkward, the coffee, you know, you're drinking coffee in the morning. You're like, hey, by the way, good news is great creamer. Bad news, you know, I'm dying. Where like in the dream, I think maybe it's like eases the blow somehow.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that's the intention. I wonder
if that person's already gone at that point, if that's a ghost.
That would actually make more sense to me. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, maybe, okay, so same point, but different angle. Maybe that's the least scary way. Or, do they all pass in the night?
Those, yeah.
Okay, so then it would make sense that was, one, the most immediate time to tell mm-hmm. them that they were passing, but also, like, it's softening the blow of finding them, right?
Yeah.
It's like,
oh, I had a dream about this. I knew it was going
to
happen.
Like, we're never going to be able to talk again. I don't want to scare you and haunt you in that way. This is my only chance, my best opportunity to tell you that I've passed.
To quote Chris at this point, this house has a, quote, reputation for being super mega haunted, end quote, at least in their family. And it's not a huge house. It's a small little lake house, as they said.
So Chris understands that the whole family thinks it's haunted. Just they don't think it's haunted.
Yeah, she does not.
Okay. It's interesting. I feel like it'd be easy just to lean into it then. I feel like if you were experiencing it and then you had horror movie dad around you who didn't, it'd be, you know, maybe then you start thinking, well, maybe it's not. But if, I don't know.
I wonder if it's like, you're raised to be a Browns fan, and then you're like, I want to be a Steelers fan.
Oh, that doesn't happen. It actually probably helping a lot of people. That would never happen to me.
Yeah, that's ever. Knock on wood. So Chris,
why would I? Browns were the last team to win a playoff game. Kind of.
Wow.
Kind of. I don't want to say they're better. Wait, did they win last year?
I don't know, man.
I know the Steelers made the playoffs last year. This isn't the way you guys want to hear. Browns are better. Is that what you're saying?
Tyler got 4 hours of sleep.
Less than.
I rounded up.
I appreciate that.
So Chris's uncle in this house, he lived with their grandparents at this house permanently. She doesn't live there permanently, but the uncle did live with their grandparents, and he's a tall guy. He's like 6'3", like a tall guy, and he has a habit of wearing hunting attire. And this leads into Chris's, like, her personal story. And this story is about when Chris stayed at her grandparents one night and something very creepy happened. This is her own, like, personal experience with this house. So in 2019, she went to go spend a weekend at her grandparents. And late in the evening, the glow of the TV was on, and she saw her uncle's room open and a tall figure emerge. It was not uncommon for her uncle to stay up so late, so this was not a shocking sight. She gave a stage whisper not to wake up her grandparents and asked her uncle, quote, what are you doing? And he said nothing. Looking more closely after he didn't respond, she saw what she described as a shadow figure wearing camo. She said its face and other human elements were basically blacked out. However, being so late and there were no lights on, she went with it and got closer. And when she asked if she could play the PlayStation in her uncle's room, the figure had vanished. Now, she was really confused by this because she'd been looking at him the whole time, and when she got really close to him, he was just gone. Now, when Chris told her grandfather about this the next morning, he said it was probably the ghost of the man who owned the house before they did, the one her grandfather had seen several times before, end quote.
Mm. I thought it was weird. I was playing co-op last night. The ghost is walking out, and he's like, wait, there's a PlayStation in there? And he disappeared and went back.
So, from this experience, Chris says they still are not sure about this experience. They don't know if it's, like, really a ghost they saw. They don't actually think it is. They think they might have just been tired.
Mm.
And the fact that they were kind of, like, hallucinating, it didn't move, it didn't acknowledge them. So, she kind of thought she was just, like, hallucinating.
Well, it's a good thing that she didn't go play games then if she was that tired. But my question would be, like, does she then think it was her uncle? Because...
No, she thought her uncle was asleep. I don't know what she thought
I wonder what her justification is for that last sighting then. I mean, you can chalk a lot of things up to I'm drowsy, I'm a little delirious, but I don't know.
She thinks it's an illusion. It was an illusion.
She's fighting everyone in her house, too. It's not like they're all skeptics and this is the one believer trying to convince us.
Yeah.
I see your point from earlier. Not saying it's 100% haunted. But...
No, but I mean, like... It's the same thing her grandfather had seen several times, and it matched, like, it's like, that's what you want in, like, the holy grail of sightings, like, confirmation, but not talked about beforehand.
Consistency. Yeah. Too. Yeah. Like, that one story we did recently where it was the drumming.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Different people went to the same location.
Yeah.
And they heard the drumming.
And before she told anyone, they said, did you hear the drumming?
Yeah. So, and she's like, oh, yeah, shit.
Like,
yeah.
That type of confirmation.
Yeah.
Do you remember that one story we did? What episode was it? It was like...
Everyone hang on for Tyler's tired roller coaster.
Jeez. It was snowy outside. And
like here or the story?
In the story. Okay. It's hot. It is so hot. No. It was like a creature. No, okay, hold on. It was somebody that was hanging out late at night with their friends, and mm-hmm. It was snowing, and they had flashlights, and so they saw something, and it chased them all the way back.
That's the Kustaka.
Kustaka?
Yeah, Kustaka.
Okay, that's why I've repressed it. I don't want to
upset anyone. Editing that because they jumped on the ice and I put the ice cream.
I was like, it's a really good story. What was it? But now it makes sense why I repressed it. Okay.
You put it away.
Yeah. Lock that drawer.
All right.
That was a tiny roller coaster. That was like a child roller coaster.
It was like, woo. It was good.
It's wooden.
So let's move on to, like, I didn't mention up top, but this is a twofer. So that was Chris's story. We're going to move on to Austin's story.
By God, that's Austin's music.
I don't even know what to put music.
Well, there, you could do Stone Cold, but then we'd get copyrighted. Yes. So let's not do that. That's John Cena.
Oh, that's all I think about when I think of wrestling. Whenever you mention wrestling, I always am tempted to put that music in.
Okay. Yeah.
Can't see me. So, like I said, this comes from Austin, and he's been with us a long time. Like, maybe 2020.
We've kept him locked up in this attic. We said you get 5 minutes every day to write us a listener submission, and we'll get to it in a year.
Someone asked us on our Q&A recently.
I know.
If I submitted a story, how long might it get to? I was like, whoa. A year.
Don't worry about it. We'll figure something out.
Just give us the stories. Yeah. Okay.
It'll be just long enough that you'll forget about it. And yeah. Then
when we hit you up, it'll be a nice little surprise.
Yeah. You'd be like, you guys are still podcasting?
So Austin, he is going to launch his own podcast about paranormal things in Appalachia.
Let's go. Appalachia. People are going to come at you.
I don't care.
If you don't say Appalachia.
I don't think that's right.
They're going to come at you if you don't say
Appalachia.
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 It's like I threw an Appalachia. See, people, we listen. Just because we might not follow what you say, we might continue saying things incorrectly.
Okay, fine. I'll say Appalachia.
Appalachia.
So he's going to have his own podcast about things in Appalachia.
I wonder if that's how he says it.
I don't know how he says it. He's from Kentucky, East Kentucky.
I've been saying Appalachian Mountains my entire life.
Yeah. As opposed to Appalachian Mountains?
We're throwing in Appalachian Mountains.
I just know that they're older than the Rocky Mountains because they're smaller. And when he finishes his podcast, I'm going to listen to it. Actually, I hope when he does start his podcast, I hope he lets us know so we can like advertise it.
I think we got to go there, have an experience, and then submit it to his podcast.
It's not that far.
Yeah, let's do it.
It's in Kentucky.
Although we can't really force something paranormal to happen.
Dude, if we go to his quote unquote his holler, I think we will.
Let's go to Appalachian Mountains and let's bring a Ouija board and then maybe we'll do it.
Hey. All right.
On a mountaintop.
Oh, we should do a Ouija board at Bobby Mackey's.
Oh, dude. No. Imagine we're on top of one of those mountains and we pull out a Ouija board. And as we're doing it, like 50 mountain goats all just come and circle us.
Bro. They say, you see the fires from Gondor firing. So he talks to us all the time on Instagram. I don't know if you noticed. He messages us a lot on Instagram. And yeah. I talk to him mostly. I talked to him about a bunch of stuff. We talked about motorcycles once. It was fun. And he's also a patron.
Yes.
Dedicated tier. And he's generally a really good guy. So he's from a small part of East Kentucky. And his family bought this small holler, which is, I think he's like a little part of land. I'm not super familiar with what a holler is. Have you heard the word before?
I've heard of a holler back, girl.
A holler is like, I think it's like a valley.
So it's low.
I think so. Yes. And as far as what I understand, they own all the houses in this little holler area, and it's super haunted. And there are three figures that his family, like, has seen regularly. There is a white figure, a brown figure, and a black figure.
It's the whole spectrum.
Austin's Aunt Mary Jane has even named these commonly seen figures. The white one she named Snowball. The brown one she named Cinnamon, and the black one, I don't feel right saying it. She named it Blackie, but that's what he said it is. I don't know.
It sounds like they found three stray puppies, and it was like, quick, you have 3 seconds to name it.
Yeah, well, I think that's just the Kentucky way.
I'm going to put money that they didn't sleep on it, is all I'm saying.
I don't think she did.
And I'm assuming they went in that order, because you can see the well going dry. As Snowball, they got
Cinnamon, Blackie,
yeah,
Shadow, whatever. Other figures they've seen, they've also heard voices and orbs in the holler too, and all through the property. And to me, it seems like this is a place where we've talked about places where the veil is thin.
Yeah,
it seems like this place is one of those places.
Maybe because it's so low. I don't know if that has anything to do with anything. You just said something, and it was unintentional, but it made me think about something.
Okay.
You said that they saw... Can you say that line again?
Other figures, voices, and orbs throughout the yes. property?
Go ahead. Saw... No, heard.
Did heard you say, voices.
Okay. It sounded like you said that they heard other people's voices and orbs.
Uh-huh.
Do orbs... Most... Obviously, it's a visual, stimuli. But has anybody ever reported an orb having a sound?
I don't think so. I think that's a mostly... I think that's a...
visual?
I think it's a visual thing.
But what if they do... What if... Oh, dude. What if dogs and cats... What if it is like a terrifying horror movie soundtrack sound? And it's like when you're sitting down and you look over and your cat's just staring with their head tilted at the ceiling... There's an orb there, and it's making a terrifying, creepy sound, but it just doesn't hit our...
Like, it's not, it's too high or too low.
Yeah, yeah, it's like that mosquito sound pitch when you were in school. But we're now the ones that wouldn't hear it.
Oh, I still hear it.
You hear it? Do kids do that in your class?
They do.
And they think you're not going to hear it.
Uh-huh.
You're like, I'm a musician, kid.
I should turn that shit off right now.
Like, I do editing and mixing in my free time. I hear that.
Now, Austin's family has had several encounters with these three entities in the holler. So, this first story he wrote us was about the time his uncle stayed a little too late at his grandparents' house, and they were having a good time, and he decided it was time to walk home, and it was nighttime, so he left just a couple houses up the street, and he leaves, and a couple minutes later, he comes running back and pounding on the door, screaming to let him in, and they let him in, and they ask him what's wrong, and he said... He saw a giant 7 foot tall white creature on the road staring at him cockeyed. And he asked for his father, Austin's grandfather, to give him a ride back to his house. And since then, this uncle has never really left his house after dark again.
Wow. That's how you know it really affected him. Like when you start changing your behavior.
Yeah. You don't leave at night again. So next to his uncle, Mary Jane has had the most experiences with the figures. And according to Austin, she described them like so. Snowball, the white one, the giant white one, is more of a watcher than anything. He's just kind of a gentle giant, just staring. Cinnamon is a very welcoming presence. He has a good feeling, a good vibe, and he's playful. He likes to throw, like, gravel, and then he said that his aunt says, "Hello, Cinnamon, how you doing there?" And then she just moves on with the rest of her day, which is very sweet.
Your aunt's from Kentucky, right?
She's from Ohio. She moved down to Kentucky, but she lives in Kentucky.
Does she sound like that now?
Basically, yeah. It's just an impression of my aunt. But they said Blackie is not. He's very kind of very unwelcoming presence. He's kind of a starer or two, and he's menacing.
He's a what or two?
A starer. He stares at people, and he's got some bad energy. And they also say that he has a musty smell when he's around, which is very interesting. So Austin has his own experience of seeing Snowball. Like his first experience was he was at his grandparents' house and he was on the couch and he was playing a game and he looked out their giant bay window and across the creek he saw Snowball standing there with its head crooked, staring at him inside the house. And he said he held that position for like a good minute and then he ran out of the room. And that wasn't the only time he's ever seen Snowball. It was just the first time.
So this is like a big humanoid white entity?
Yeah.
Are you, like, what kind of body, skin, fur, haziness? How are you picturing this?
I guess just like a flesh, just like skin, like a human.
That makes it scarier for some reason. I feel like...
What do you think?
I don't know. I was having a hard time picturing it.
I imagine it's maybe... I don't see it being like radiant. I see it being just like... Almost like a cryptid. He said everyone's had pretty much the same experience with Cinnamon, including himself and his aunt and his friend. Basically, it happens every time you just go walking. He throws little rocks and you say hello, and he's just a very nice presence. Now, Austin's had an experience with Blackie, and that happened when he went camping with a friend. They drove their four-wheelers out into the Kentucky wilderness, and as they sat in the darkness and they looked up in the open sky, Austin lit a cigarette. And that's when he saw a large bipedal mass standing from down the hill. He said he could feel the thing staring at him. And as Austin motioned for Sam, his friend, to come over, the shadow walked back through the surrounding blackberry patch. And after seeing this sight, they jumped on their motor wheeler things and they ran away. And if you don't know what a blackberry patch, that's just full of thorns. It's not something easy to walk through. So something tangible would have a hard time doing that.
Mm. What if I don't know what a motor wheelie thing is?
I don't know. I four wheeler, I guess. Is that the thing?
It could be a three wheeler.
Two wheeler. I don't know.
Dirt bike.
The
motor. No, that's things. True. They do have thorns.
Yeah. Yeah. I found it very interesting. It just kind of like stared them down.
Mm-hmm. It seems like they like to keep their distance and they're more like watchers.
Yeah, which makes me kind of think they're like, kind of like guardians of this place.
Guardians of the land.
Yeah.
Of the holler.
Of the holler.
That's what this episode should be called. The Guardian Hollers. The holler. Guardians of the holler.
It's kind of cool. So we're going to move on to the family's hauntings in this holler. Because like I said, it seems to me like it's this place on Earth where it's like ephemeral. Like it's like a thin place in the veil.
Okay. Like a place that's just like, nothing weird has to happen there. It just naturally, like, it's just the location. Kind of like, yeah. I don't want to say like the Bermuda Triangle or the Michigan Lake Triangle, but it's somewhere where it just naturally lends itself to paranormal activity.
Yes. So this family has a history of seeing ghosts on this land. One ghost that Austin's grandfather had a history of seeing was a young girl wearing settler's clothes, like period clothes. And I think this is actually a little girl. Like, I don't think it's a demon.
What makes you think this particular one is not a demon?
Because this one didn't try to talk to him. It didn't try to get anything out of him. It just was there. He looked at it, and then it was gone.
Mind your own business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it wanted anything. It was just lost.
Sir, do you want to buy some Girl Scout cookies? Back, demon.
Get out of here, demon.
Unless you got Samoas.
No, the Thin Mints.
Nah. Overrated. You know,
they got a new one.
What is it?
I don't remember what it's called. It's like a brownie bite.
What does it taste like? Okay, it's brownie.
Try it. So Austin's mom had this encounter with possibly that same little girl spirit. And it goes like this. Late one evening, she went to make herself an evening beverage before bed. And when she entered the kitchen, she saw something small and dark dart across the room. She quickly walked back to the bedroom, and she told her husband, Austin's dad, that she saw something. And she asked him to go grab her drink. And he went out to go grab it. But only a moment, he ran back into the room and slammed the door shut with nothing in his hand. And she said, quote, "What is it, Mikey?" He said, "Nothing." She goes, "You saw something, didn't you?" "No." "Where's my drink?" "You can go get your own damn drink." So that was a nice little back and forth.
Yeah, I like
that. And it just shows that this haunting is just kind of like infectious in this holler.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not just the grandparents. It's not just the uncles or the siblings. Or the parents. It's all of them.
Yeah.
And I have one more story from Austin.
I wonder if Chris would be skeptical if she was there. And she,
I don't know.
She'd be like, no.
Maybe.
Just the wind.
So this last story takes place at his dad's old home. And it takes place after his father passed away. And unfortunately, his father did commit suicide. I just want to take this moment to quote Austin. "It's a permanent solution to a temporary problem. And it's never the answer. And it ripples through entire families. And I put this in. If you're having those kinds of feelings, please seek help. The suicide hotline is 800-273-8255. Just, it's always a good thing to put in there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, so Austin's uncle needed to replace his toilet. So Austin and him decided to take the one out of Austin's old trailer home. And while Austin and his uncle were about to get to work, he laughed and said, "You know, Dad probably doesn't appreciate you taking his toilet apart." And they chuckled, they laughed, and they got to work. And when they were finally done and loading up, they're outside, they look back at the trailer, and all of the lights in the trailer that had no utilities hooked up were on, and they flicked off again.
Wow.
And then Austin looked at his uncle and shrugged and said, "Told you." Yeah, so that's the last story from Austin. And he is like an amateur paranormal investigator too, so he's got lots of stories, and I can't wait to hear his podcast.
Oh yeah, we'll have to send. He hasn't started yet, right?
He hasn't started yet, but he's been talking to me about it, and I'm excited to listen to it.
Yeah, we'll have to plug it sometime, and I definitely want to give it a listen as well. That's like a almost a not heartwarming, because it's still like suicide, and it is sad, you know, to lose mm-hmm. a parent. But there's something almost nice. It's like a, hey, I'm here.
Yeah, you know, it's almost like hello.
Yeah.
Or like, don't take my toilet.
Dude, wait a minute. Toilets, man, they're like, they seem unreal. That like, there's a toilet that flushes and is hooked up, and it's like, I couldn't imagine undoing a toilet right now. Have you ever taken apart a toilet?
I've done two in my life.
Yeah, is it magical?
No, it's not magical. It's not terribly hard, though.
I'm not a mechanically minded person.
I know, yeah, your dad can attest to that.
Yeah. I'm very lucky to have him in my life to do that stuff.
But with all those stories, Chris's stories, Austin's stories, let's take this to the discussion. So now is the time to stop the episode. I'm just going to... And we like to thank the people that want to support us on Patreon. So we're going to put those people's names in here, starting with Christina, Brandy, Christina, different Christina, Kinsey, Tracy, and probably my new favorite name, Goblins in the Attic. So thank you guys so much for helping us with the show. And you get access to these awesome things that we like to put out that are not necessarily this content. But Tyler, what are some of those things that they get?
So some of the things that you get by being a patron, which I would say that Orca the Whale competes with the Goblins in the Attic.
It's pretty good too.
I like the fun names. But some of the content you can expect to get when you become a patron are quizzes, fun segment games like Bizarre News, where we talk about relevant paranormal and weird news stories. Do You Believe the Bizarre, where producer Ben gives us three stories, three rounds. We have to guess which ones are real, which ones are fake. Interviews, where we interview people that send us listener submissions, very much like this episode you're listening to right now. We do director's cuts, where we break down and listen back and record old episodes. And if you're part of our dedicated tier, you get a unique special t-shirt that you can only get by being a member of our Patreon. And we watch movies together. We do Google Hangouts. It's a lot. It's more than just bonus content. It is a lot of a lot of extra stuff.
It's like its own community at this point.
It is literally a community, and it's so much fun, and I love doing all of it, and I like that we have the opportunity to do all of it. It's so much fun, seriously. Yeah.
But with that, let's get back to the episode. So I just want to address this really quick. You probably heard a slight shift in the episode.
Maybe a cricket here and there.
Possibly, or just a difference in audio, or even energy levels. We took a break to do our 1 million download and 2 year anniversary Twitch. And we had, I'm just going to say, many technical issues.
Yep, we've done three streams tonight for a total of about 3.5 hours.
So there's
one of them was okay.
Yeah, there's a 3.5 hour shift between the beginning of this episode and now. It came out fantastic. It ended up being really fun.
It was a lot of fun. And just on that thought, I do want to say that going forward, we are going to try to do 8 p.m. Twitches on Tuesdays, so 8 p.m. Eastern time. Charlie and I are going to be on Twitch, and it's going to be an extended discussion of that Tuesday's episode.
Yeah, so you're hearing this episode right now. We're going to talk about it later on Twitch tonight.
Yeah, so literally, if you listen to this day of as it drops before 8 p.m. Eastern time, you can follow us on Twitch, jump on, and we're going to have an extended discussion, talk about ideas, see what we all think. And we're going to try and keep doing this moving forward, in addition to Charlie playing his Let's Plays video games. Yeah. You're doing The Last of Us.
The Last of Us right now.
Yeah.
I love this game.
So if you've wanted to talk about your ideas, if you listen to the episode and you have you think it makes you think of something, or you had something personal that it made you remember.
Yeah. I love this story because I had my own encounter with this thing.
Oh yeah. Or just like something strikes you and you're like, I have an opinion on this and I want to let them know. There's no more immediate way to get your thoughts out there than jumping on this Twitch every Tuesday.
Yeah. So let's get to the actual discussion right now. So we talked about two stories, Chris's story and Austin's story. Yeah. And I said something during Chris's episode that was almost 4 hours ago now.
Something about ghosts.
I remember. Do you think a death has to be traumatic to make a ghost? Because we talked about how illnesses affected that family very much.
Yeah.
And none of the deaths were like traumatic. Well, traumatic in like a violent death per se. But they're all sick.
I think it comes down to a belief of what you think can turn into a ghost or where ghosts come from. Because I don't necessarily believe that every person that's ever lived and died is a ghost.
Right.
And now if you believe in an afterlife, then that kind of sums that up. Because some people think there's no such thing as human ghosts. Because you have to go to an afterlife and there's right. things here that, you know, aren't human. And I've always thought it was interesting that, you know, so many people see ghosts and they're like old timey and it's, you know, like the idea of what if like a ghost that you see that's human is just a lasting impression, which would be trauma.
Yeah.
So like if something traumatic or intense happens, that energy and that like trauma keeps it alive, but like without intent. It's like when you see a ghost walking through a hallway that's no longer there.
It's like
there.
A cycle, right?
Yeah. Like that cycle of like an impression without intent. And like the idea that if something paranormal is happening in the ghost spiritual side of things and it seems to have intent and acknowledges you and wants to do something with you, maybe it's not human. This is just something I've been thinking about, and it kind of pertains to what you're asking me. I don't know if it has to be trauma, because then it's like, what's the limit? Like, where, like, on a meter of very traumatic to not that traumatic, where is, all right, you get to be a ghost because of this, right, and then you don't. Like,
I think it's their own psyche, personally, like their own, maybe their own superego, right? Like, you know a little bit about superegos and egos.
And the id.
And the id.
Yeah.
And I think maybe it comes down to where it falls in their own psyche, how that trauma actually affected them. And I feel like maybe it's not necessarily trauma that makes ghosts also, but also that feeling of regret or things unfinished.
Maybe just intense emotions, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you feel regret intensely or anger intensely or sorrow intensely. I don't know, because it's something I struggle conceptualizing. I know I'm not alone in that, because there's no, like, answer. People can have strong opinions, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no, like, correct answer on, like, what makes a ghost, other than, like, people that are like, well, yeah, you die.
Yeah.
You die, and you're a ghost.
Exactly, and you can't really know. You can't really know.
No, and it's like, you know what would be really scary is if there was conclusive evidence.
Yeah.
Like, let's say you're somebody who truly believes that you spoke to a relative that passed.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's say a year from now, somehow, and just roll with me. I know this isn't going to happen, but let's say there's conclusive evidence that every spirit, like human spirits go here. There's no human spirits on Earth. Then you would know that whatever you were talking to was not your relative.
It's a scary concept.
It's so terrifying.
I hate that.
I know. I didn't mean to, like,
that's really scary.
Bring that in, but that's, it's just like, it's the gotcha type.
That's a good movie idea.
Yeah. I'm sure it's been done.
So I think I want to ask, how do you think about Chris's family? Do you think that she is wrong? I think that she saw a ghost. I hate to break it to her. I think she saw a ghost.
I wonder if there's like, I can't remember because it's 4 hours ago. Do you remember how old Chris is or was at that time?
She did not say.
I wonder if there's a little bit of an urge to be contrarian. Like okay. that angsty.
Yeah.
Like almost as, because normally we see it from the other side where like the family doesn't believe in ghosts and then the narrator believes in ghosts.
Yeah.
And feels like an outcast. But this is like one of the few times I've ever heard a story where somebody, like the whole family believes,
mm-hmm,
and they don't. And it's like, it's almost like.
I see that though. I see that urge, like.
To go against the grain.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying, but I also, like, I also appreciate the mindset to be skeptical, because I think it's easy to just not really think about it and say, oh, it's true, or on the opposite side, it's not true. I appreciate the skepticism.
You
it's just
question everything.
To me, it's just interesting because I feel like when you grow up a certain way and the things that you're around typically shape you, and I feel like if you're around people who are very easily to believe in ghosts and truly think your house is haunted, I feel like it would be easy to just, especially when you have an experience. Like, if you have an experience,
yeah,
well, why fight it, I guess? But
I guess, yeah. But yeah. I think.
What are your thoughts?
I think it's absolutely a ghost. I think you're right. I think. I don't. Maybe it's also the idea that they want to protect their own sanity. Like, maybe I didn't see a ghost. It was an illusion.
That's true. That's a good point.
I told you before, I said on the podcast, I don't know how I would be different if I saw a ghost. Like a straight ghost.
A ghost to the point, like, you had your experience where, like, the doors rattled.
Yeah.
But you can still be like, well, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, if you literally saw somebody walk through, like, that wall.
Yeah.
You're like,
well,
damn.
I'm not me anymore.
The crazy thing about that is, like, and now people have this experience. Like, there's some people that live in this world, and some of them are probably listening to this podcast, that they can't not believe in the mm-hmm. paranormal. Like, you and I have had experiences, but there's still a gray area.
Right.
There's the what ifs. There's the, maybe this. But there's people that have seen things in this world. They can't live thinking paranormals.
They can't understand.
We will never understand. Understand. They want answers.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like, there's people that can't be naive. Like, well, maybe ghosts aren't real. And they're just like, I can't believe that because I've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
Like.
Yeah. And that's kind of what brings me to Austin's story is, like, he lives in that world where it is real. He almost cannot deny
it. I wonder
it.
If that's frustrating because there's so much population. There's so much of the population that doesn't believe in ghosts. Could you imagine if you lived his life verbatim, mm-mm, and there was the three entities and all these other ghosts in the holler, and somebody came up to you and was like, yeah, ghosts aren't real.
Yeah, just like, that's like
they are.
Like, that's to me, that's like saying like evolution's not real. Like it is. It's mm-hmm. proven. I've seen it. You can see the traces. But they're like, no, not real. That to me though, because yeah. that's how I feel.
No, absolutely.
So yeah, I think you must be frustrated.
It's just interesting because normally it's both of these stories have flipped a narrative in some way or another.
So I mean, I read them both believable.
Although, what is Chris's believable? Is Chris
is wrong? It is believable.
Okay, so if we're agreeing, so Chris is unbelievable, and yeah, we're believable
on their own story. I think they're at least skeptical on their own story.
Yeah.
Which, if you're listening, it's true.
Just accept it. You have ghosts. I think Austin's is more believable.
Yeah.
Because I appreciate Chris's skepticism. Based on what I hear, it sounds like ghost activity. But I do appreciate the skepticism, but I'll give him believable as well.
So that is our episode on the familial spirits, because both these families are entrenched in the ghost culture. They have them. They've got them. They can't really get rid of them. They don't want to. They have familial spirits.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Reminder, again, if you're listening to this on Tuesday and it's still daytime-ish, depending on whatever time zone you're in, at 8 p.m. Eastern time, we are going to be jumping on Twitch and further talking about this episode. And also, if you didn't check them out yet, we did drop our episode series designs, which is merch that is specific to episodes that we've done in the past. So go to believeinthebizarre.com and shop our merch.
Yeah, there's some really incredible designs, and we got some really incredible people to model them.
Absolutely awesome models. Great job by Jalen. Great job by us thinking of them. Doing the episodes. No, I'm just yeah, kidding. Right. I'm not kidding, but I'm kidding. But yeah, check that out.
And speaking of Twitch, you just talked about Twitch. Join me on Wednesdays and typically Sundays to play video games. I like to keep them spooky.
Is there a notification system on Twitch? So if somebody comes and follows us and forgets, can you get that bump?
Because I get bumped for many of our friends on Twitch.
Okay, so just make sure you're bumpified.
You're bumpified, yeah.
Yeah, make sure, you know, because you got a lot of things going on, right? You got stuff to do. You're not going to remember our schedule. So then you just need your phone to bump you when we go on. And maybe you can't do it right then and there. That's okay. In like 5 minutes.
Yeah. Because
you're not that busy. You tell your friends you're busy, but you're not that busy. Netflix will be there waiting for you. But also, if you do have all the free time in the world and you want more and more content, you've caught up on all the main episodes and it's not Tuesday, it's not Wednesday, it's not Sunday, Charlie's not twitching, you can always go to Patreon, and there's so much bonus extra content, both audio content, video content, merch content. If you're in our dedicated tier, make sure you're in our dedicated tier Patreon Discord where we do monthly giveaways. If you don't know what I'm talking about and you're a dedicated tier member, please message us.
Because you should know.
You should be in this Discord, and you should have a chance to win free merch every single month. But we're really excited about all the content in there. We're always thinking about new content, always come up with ideas. So if you like the podcast and want a little bit more, that's the place to go.
And if you're like in this episode, you're like, I'm not the Patreon, I'm not interested. That's totally fine. I respect that. Don't worry about it. But if you enjoyed it, please do us a favor. Leave a 5-star in review on Apple and a 5-star on Spotify or a 5-star on Spotify.
That's right. So as always, thank you everybody so much for listening. I'm Tyler.
And I'm Charlie.
And catch us next week on Believing the Bizarre.
Podcast as bizarre as you are.
I love the little details you get in a story that can let you know something about a character that they don't tell you, but you just, like, you can tell the person that uses the phrase, I gave them a stage whisper. Like, I feel like I know Chris better now because of that.
That's bad.
What?
I wrote that in. Like, they...
Alright, Charlie, cut all that. Except for the video game part. Video game part was cool.
I'm sorry, dude.
Fuck you.